Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Shelter Footycast, here we go. Mark Reddings, Will Schofield coming at you from Backchat Studios. Skeeter, that's the Southern River Band. I went and saw them down in Scarborough. Skeeter, surprised I didn't bump into you down there.
No.
Indie Bar.
No, I haven't been there. I've heard of it, but it would have been nice and rough and ready down that part of the world.
Mean?
Scarborough. There's a little bit of a bogan element there. They're doing burnouts, wheelies in the car park.
It's not in the Golden Triangle, but no, it's Scarborough. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think most people would agree that at times it's a beautiful part of the world, but just give me some ferals just wandering down there for a beverage, and you would have fit in beautifully.
Yeah, that's correct. I have my Backchat, my Shelter Backchat Ale hoodie on, Skeeter. So. Oh, yeah. You can see this here.
You've got a couple of selfies with numpties coming up to you going, hi, I want a photo with you, Scoey.
Backchatstudios.com.au. You can buy some merch that I'm wearing right now. We might have to get Skeeter into it next week. I mean, you come in here in your shirt and your slacks and your Julius Marlowe's, but might have to get you in the Backchat Ale merch, Skeeter. There's plenty there. So jump backchatstudios.com.au. Skeeter, plenty to get through. It feels like this round.
Gone forever.
I feel like 3 weeks of my life is gone.
You remember Richmond and Melbourne happened last Wednesday, which is almost a week ago. We've had five games. We've had a draw. We've had the mark of the year. And we've had our WA teams either win or lose.
That's strange. Footycast@backchatstudios.com.au. If you want to get in touch with us, we'll get through some listener interaction at the end of the show. Keep sending them in. We love hearing from you. And quite often you provide a lot better material than Skeeter and I could ever come up with, which is not hard, is it, Skeeter?
No, it's not. Will, and we were thinking about trying to come up with material for this show, which has taken us the best part of half an hour.
Skeeter's got to get to his 16th job, so let's get into it. Thanks to our good friends at Travel and Sports Australia, Skeeter, the giveaway for the two tickets on the flight to the Collingwood game, not this weekend coming, but the next, will be given away this evening. So you have...
The code words I've given.
You've given the code word.
Oh, well, it's words, but yeah, there you go.
That's right. Yeah. I've forgotten what they were.
Well, it's just...
We'll give a little reminder later on. Excuse me. So they're the two tickets on the plane with the boys to the Collingwood game. Two match tickets in corporate premium seating, some sort of, I'm not sure what's going on there.
Is it Marvel the G or Stadium? Marvel? It's Marvel, is it?
Marvel Stadium.
A beautiful spot to watch, particularly if it gets a bit chilly in Melbourne.
Because you've got roof shut, is that right?
Oh, yeah, well, that's the main reason it's warmer than...
And a big shout-out to Ben, who won the Freo tickets on the weekend. Would have been a good game to go to. We gave away a couple of tickets last week.
Beautiful, yeah. It was a big event, 45,000 there.
So for the TASA giveaway, if you want to enter, it's probably going to be today because we're giving them away this evening. That's Monday. So you need the code word. You need to go to backchatstudios.com.au and you need to enter that code word and your email. And we'll draw that this evening for the tickets on the plane and to the game. Skeet, let's get into it. I want to start with maybe some observations after a third of the season. We're pretty much a third of the way through. And just a little look across the competition. I think the ladder, the top six sides, and we spoke about this before the show, I can't see any of them not making finals. Then you've got a bunch of teams in that middle sector that are potentials. But I heard you on radio say today that the top eight, it's almost set and forget at half, a third of the way through the season. I don't want to put you under the bus here, but I sort of also do. You said no one's missing the eight if we look at the season right now.
No, history says that. History says that at around seven or around eight, around this time of the year, that if you're not in the eight, then it's going to be pretty tough to get in. Now, if you look at it as it stands, Fremantle with 9/10 of possession being the law. They're in the top eight, which is terrific for them. Essendon on 18 points. They're the two clubs that look vulnerable. But outside of that, Gold Coast, to me, really don't threaten it as a top eight side at the moment.
Away from home.
Yep, exactly. Even yesterday, I you know, it was a win, but I wouldn't be raving about it.
Gee, it was tough to watch. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
That as a ground, the colour scheme, I might just be getting old skate, but it just was so bright, the sun, red, like fucking red seats, no one sitting in them, no atmosphere. Like it's a daytime game there. It's bloody hard to watch.
Exactly. It started raining in the last quarter. Collingwood's decide, obviously, that if they can get it on the move.
You'd think they're playing finals.
You'd think so. So look, by and large, that top eight will probably stay as it is. And it's a broader conversation about we've got Geelong 7 from 7, not the best team in the competition, according to Will Schofield, but they are second premiership favourites as we speak. Have you changed your mind at all in the last 72 hours?
I didn't see any of the Geelong Carlton game, but I did see Geelong smack them, and I just thought, like, what? Maybe they are. Maybe they are scared.
Hey, don't worry, I had them outside the eight and probably just falling off the cliff, so I'm wrong as well. I'll put my hand up. But you think of what Geelong has done, 7 from 7, Sydney 6-1, Giants 6-1.
Amazing. GWS look amazing.
Like, but both sides from Sydney, it's going to be a huge battle of the bridge.
If Geelong played either of those this weekend, Sydney and GWS are beating Geelong. I put my life on it. So that's why Geelong aren't the best side in the competition.
You're putting your life on it, eh? That's interesting, Scully. So the broader discussion, as I was getting to, is that we've got these teams that are playing really good footy.
Yes.
The issue that we have in the competition at the moment is that the three bottom sides, Richmond, now they're part of the system which brings you from a three-time premiership club to now, you know, on Struggle Street. But between Richmond, Hawthorn and North Melbourne, they have won two games from 21 that they have played through 7 rounds.
And so, Richmond beat Sydney, one of those wins.
Yeah, and Hawthorn beat North Melbourne.
My life on the line.
Yeah, so that's the issue. Equalisation of the competition, I'm not sure how you change it apart from we've got the salary cap, we've got the draft, but as it stands, there's such a disparity between the best and the worst, it's not funny. And thankfully, we haven't had to mention West Coast in this conversation.
Well, I was about to say that. So, and I'm very happy to put my hand up here. Before the Richmond game, I'm pretty sure we were still having the priority pick discussion. Before the Sydney game. Before the Sydney game, I'd completely written West Coast off. Because what I'd seen, the brand they were playing was, I don't know, I couldn't see it at all. And I know I get a lot wrong, but I do know what's happening in the game of footy. But I just could not see it. And I thought they were just a lay down mazier to get a priority pick. Their list was in a horrible position. But more importantly, they were uncompetitive in their games they played. Like they didn't even offer a wimp. They go Sydney, they win Richmond, they win Frio, huge win. And then they're competitive for a half against Gold Coast. And so are they now a competitive side? Are we/me/everyone else, are West Coast out of the uncompetitive bracket with those three sides?
Oh, absolutely at the moment, because on this trajectory, and they were beaten yesterday, but they're probably now, you know, if they continue to play in this manner, they're probably going to win 5 to 6 games.
Yes.
Which totally puts you out of the conversation.
Yeah, and you're not playing finals clearly with that, but you're not the worst side in the comp.
By a stretch. And we could see, and I know it's a lot of footy, and there'll be teams that get injured or just complacent against North Melbourne. North Melbourne could go through the season without a win.
So Adelaide are no good. Like I have Adelaide in the no good basket, and they have absolutely smashed North Melbourne.
Yeah.
Is that because of their list? Is that like North Melbourne? Imagine being a North Melbourne fan right now. Like you just have no hope. Like you're rocking up to the game to what? See, let's hopefully we win a quarter of footy. And this is what West Coast fans have been copping for 2 years, mind you. But absolutely, North Melbourne's been copping it for longer than 2 years.
But their draft picks. I don't know if we're happy to just quickly touch on some of these draft picks that that the clubs have received. North Melbourne. Let's go through them briefly. Colby McKercher, pick 2. George Wardlaw, pick 3. Will Phillips, pick 3. Harry Sheasel, pick 3. Zane Dersmer, pick 4. Luke Davies-Uniacke, pick 5. This is over the last period. Dylan Stevens, pick 5. Luke McDonald, pick 8. They've got 8 in that bracket. As you mentioned, the Gold Coast Suns have 10 players.
This is their side from the weekend as well. There actually could be a couple more. That's just their side from the weekend. They had 8 top 10 picks. Gold Coast, how many do they have?
Gold Coast have got 10 in that bracket. Rowell at 1, Swallow at 1. That's going back a fair while, of course. Anderson at 2, Lukosius at 2, Walter at 3, Day at 3, Ainsworth at 4, MacAndrew at five. Ben King at six. And Bailey Humphrey, who got poleaxed yesterday, pick six. So compare that to a St Kilda, and you look at what they've got in recent times. Philippou picked 10. They had one.
Yes.
So they're caught in no man's land with regards to getting access to elite talent.
So this is more in the conversation around equalisation and should we be giving more priority picks? Do sides need to bottom out in order to access those? So West Coast, on the weekend, they had one top 10 pick, Ruben Jimby picked 9. So they've bottomed out for a couple of years now. They still don't have the top 10 picks playing. I mean, Harley Reid clearly is rested. But their list, it's not built of high-end top 10 picks. Like these sides here, North Melbourne, Gold Coast, they should start to become competitive looking at these. But I don't have Gold Coast playing finals again this year. They've never played finals. North Melbourne couldn't be further from finals. Like if you actually look at their side, their back line is horrific. They have top talent in their midfield, but they're inconsistent because they're young, and their forward line is basically Nick Larkin.
One man.
Yeah. So, and who was a rookie, I'm pretty sure.
No, pick 73.
Yeah, effectively.
So that's one of the great pickups in recent history.
So if we're trying to make this an equalised comp, do we need that? Or are we always going to have teams at the top, undefeated, like Geelong, and at the bottom with no hope, like Hawthorn, North Melbourne and Richmond?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And you can blame the system, but you also have to blame the clubs. And North Melbourne, for instance, you go back to 2016, and this is done with the best intentions. They got rid of Boomer Harvey and
Drew Petrie
and all these experienced sort of quartet of senior players, thinking this is the way to build and start with young players. And we're 8 years later. This was when James Brayshaw was president. And the picks they've made, and I read through a list of them over the weekend, and gee, they've had some lot of misses. And now that goes with the territory. Scully, you don't always get it right when it comes to drafting, but there's a lot of misses there, and we're 8 years down the track. They have got no closer with regards to having a competitive edge, and at the moment, priority picks, forget that. That's done for them now.
Yep,
I found that out just from you before.
I don't think North Melbourne are eligible for another priority pick. They've had two in a row, and I don't think you can have three in a row. I think it's an AFL rule. So we're not going to get them another young draftee. I don't think they need that either. They need a big, strong inside mid to protect these guys. Greenwood runs around, and I don't think he's that guy. So they've got to go and target someone like, I don't know, Elliot Yeo's out of contract. They need an Elliot Yeo, seriously. They're not going to get Elliot Yeo.
They can't recruit anyone.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Going back to even, dare I say, Andrew Gaff, tried to get a piece of Dusty Martin. They're on the hunt.
Every year.
Might have been Josh Kelly. They've tried to get, but it's not an attractive place to go. Because of the lack of success. And if you've got the chance to get paid $1 million in a short period of time, Scully, you're going to go to Collingwood. You're going to go to Carlton, potentially, or certainly a club that's on the move, or Geelong, as opposed to North Melbourne. It defies logic that they can expect to recruit a big-name player this offseason.
To finish on North Melbourne, so the way you rebuild it then is to get a big bunch of young kids and you bring them up as a group. So Hawthorn did it, right, under Clarkson. Richmond was a little bit different, but to have like that big group, Geelong did it when they had that success. They had that big group of kids like
and
Mackies,
the father sons as correct. Well.
So you need that. So that's how they're going to do that. Is Alistair Clarkson the right man to lead them through that? That would be the question I would raise. Hawthorn, that's almost self-imposed what they've done and the pain they're under right now. I think maybe their competitiveness over the last couple of years has meant that we thought, okay, competitive for 2 years, third year, they're going to make a real jump. Maybe the expectations from afar have been a little bit too much, because looking at their list, it's not very good. They haven't had access to their high-end talent to start this year. Will Day played his first game and he did some stuff on the weekend that I just thought, well, okay, he's their best player. They haven't had him. Mitch Lewis, they were playing him the back line for a period yesterday, which was strange because I think he's their best forward, and they're lacking talent. So they're on a long rebuild as well. I think internally they would know that. But Sam Mitchell looks like he's very frustrated. We saw him blow up at Scrimshaw on the weekend. he's certainly changed his demeanor around this build. He's gone from sort of like we have, 2 years, all right, let's play the kids and get them going, and this year, time to step up. And I don't think he's happy with what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, and if you don't follow Hawthorn, you say cry me a river, because they dominated, what, 13 onward, 2013. They've won flags. They've been successful. They've been around the mark. So if you barrack for another club, notably St Kilda or Carlton or Essendon, who've been through hell the last couple of decades, and you say, well, here's your medicine, Hawks. Go and suck it up.
So just to finish off on this, do we think this top eight is the top eight? How many changes to this top eight are we seeing? I don't think the top six changes at all.
No, agree.
I have Essendon, Fremantle as should play, could,
but
should
not locks.
Play finals, but not locks.
No.
And beneath them, I have Collingwood.
Yeah, they're the only team that I can see. I mean, Brisbane had the talent, but they're now two games outside the top eight. Mm. And at some stage, the ladder doesn't lie with regards to what teams are producing. The Brisbane Lions haven't won at home this year. They've got the Gold Coast Suns at the Gabba this weekend. But it's the Dockers and Essendon. They're the two. Essendon, look, they're going to surprise us all if they keep playing this. They'll play finals if they continue to show us what they have in the first seven rounds. Collingwood's the only team for mine that can jump up and disrupt one of those teams inside the eight.
I think Brisbane play finals. So they just lost to GWS poorly, right? GWS we have as a top two side, or I have as a top two side. Week before, they lost to Geelong, undefeated. They beat Melbourne the week before, who we have as a very good side. The week before that, they smacked North Melbourne, move on. The week before that, they got beaten by Collingwood in the grand final replay. The week before that, they had a bye, so they didn't win that one. And the week before that, they were beaten by Freo here at Optus Stadium. I think that's a very difficult start to the season. Like and they lost by a point to Carlton opening round.
Oh, look, I don't disagree with
that. So I have them better than their ladder position, and I say Brisbane play finals. What you say you?
No, I think it's gonna be really tough from here. As I said, there's probably only one team. You think there's gonna be two changes or one with Collingwood jumping up and Brisbane, or just Brisbane?
Essendon will drop out, and apparently Freo will drop out after. I think the top six won't change.
Okay,
that's disappointing to hear. Yeah, I know, for Freo fans.
I think just on the Brisbane,
been wrong a lot. So.
They've won two from seven. My maths isn't great, but they've got to win probably 10 or 11 of their remaining games, which, gee, there's not much room for error there.
Yeah, I reckon they'll do the GWS from last year and sort of get on a run. You know, GWS had that big run late and made the finals late, and I think they'll do similar areas, finish sort of eighth or seventh.
I'm not convinced, but that's not the first time we've disagreed.
Very good, Skeeter. Let's move on. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footy Cast. Look, we'll spend 1 minute on this. Jack Higgins gets a 3-game suspension for the big sling tackle against Alir. Did you see it?
Yeah, saw it. First thing when I saw the penalty, I thought, wow, that's harsh. That was my initial reaction. But because he was tackling him as he's trying to kick the footy, what happened though? Alir gets concussed. And if he doesn't get concussed, does he get 3 weeks? I ask you that.
That is what the definition of what the issue is with the tribunal right now, is it's outcome over action. So if you do exactly the same tackle and Alir suddenly, like, I don't know, has a harder head than other people. And I say that facetiously, but if he doesn't get knocked out.
He can't be getting 3 weeks for that if he doesn't get knocked out, does he?
The outcome, that doesn't make any logical sense to me, that we're ruling on outcome and not action. It's either a dangerous tackle that's going to cause severe injury, which they've rated this at, or it's not.
So let me ask you this, because at least with, this is playing devil's advocate, at least with what the tribunal's done here, if you concuss a player, then you're going to cop more time than not. At least you can work that out with the Alir case. But if I ask you this, if Alir isn't concussed,
yes,
what do you think the penalty could have or should have been?
1 week. 1 week. Correct?
Yeah, well, probably on the mark, given what we've seen with Tom Barras.
Maybe
and
two if they want to say that. Oh. I don't know. But one, right?
Yep.
How's this for example? Jesse Hogan last week gets off for punching someone in the head, right? Andrew Brayshaw gets punched in the head by Andrew Gaff. And I've said it. We've heard his brother say it. We've heard Andrew Brayshaw say it. Andrew Gaff, not a vicious player, but gets it wrong. And the outcome is broken jaw, young player. Andrew Gaff gets 8 weeks. If Jesse Hogan's punch is 1 centimetre different and breaks the defender's, Marchbank's jaw, right? What? So that's 8 weeks for Brayshaw because of outcome. Like shouldn't Hogan have copped 4 weeks last week?
I think minimum because it was a non-football act. Now I've got to stand
this and is say, outcome and action. That's why it's crazy.
Did he get the benefit of saying it was an open hand? That's what I'm saying. So anyway,
Andrew Gaff could have been an open hand, but he broke a kid's jaw, so he get 8 weeks. And I think fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not going to compare the Hogan one to the Brayshaw one.
It's a perfect example,
Because I'm not sure that the force was similar to Hogan.
No, but it's the action skater. Yeah. If you're going to go and punch people in the head.
Yeah. I don't think Hogan was a punch per se.
So it was Gaffs?
Yeah. Well, maybe
I don't really think Gaffs was either.
But he's saying punch. See, it was anyway. Whatever happened, I know where you're coming from. It's all about what happened. If Marchbank had been felled and went to ground and lost a tooth or whatever it is.
Yes.
You're right. There's no question. It would have been a different outcome.
That just seems very...
And it was a non-football act. Whereas players tackling, and I understand the importance of protecting players' heads particularly, but a tackle is far different to a player in that circumstance risking causing injury to a player's head by a punch or an open-handed strike.
There's too much going on in a game of footy to be ruling on outcome over action. So if you do punch someone and you don't quite get them and you don't get weeks, and then you do punch someone and you do get them and they get a broken jaw and you get 8 weeks, that's too far apart for the same action for mine.
Yes.
Will Schofield, Mark Rennings, Shuttle Footy Cast. Skeet, let's get into the footy. Tell you what, take us a little bit to get there, but that's okay. Fremantle defeat the Bulldogs 95-71 Saturday. Good game, this one. You would have called this, no doubt, with 6PR. Really impressive through the midfield, Fremantle, where against a strong midfield outfit, Liberatore was laid out, which I think is a big loss to them. But Fife and Sarong just went absolutely crazy in this one.
Yeah, Fife, 37 disposals. He was enormous. I reckon it's best game for years, let's be honest.
Yep.
And Caleb Sarong with 17 clearances, club record. Enormous, and they set the tone for what was it was a really good game. I thought, when Draper went down defensively, they were obviously short on height, if that's the terminology. They were really having to punch outside their weight division, and Pierce and Ryan were sort of holding things together. But they managed to keep the Dogs at bay. Sam Darcy's going to be... you can talk about Jamari Ugle-Hagan. He's got enormous potential, and you've got Norton, who's a gun. But this guy might be he might be in that same category, I think. I'm not sure if you agree or disagree. I really like what I see from him. So I had to keep him on the leash. So Draper goes off. I thought it was a brave win. Look, they dodged a bullet in the third quarter. Dogs kicked 2 goals, 7, and that, including the Bont, who missed from 10 metres out. Even the goal umpire, I think the ball missed by about 1.5 metres. He was so shocked by the ball missing, he called for a goal review just to double check. I thought it was a really good win by Fremantle. And some people say, they missed targets and they fumbled. They did all of that. But I thought it was a game that at the end of the season, with the Bulldogs sitting on 12 points and the Dockers 16 as we speak, they're the sorts of wins you have to bank. And they did that. And I think it's after three bad losses, or one bad loss and two heartbreaking losses, this was the result they needed.
If Nat Fyfe and Caleb Sarong have 75 touches between them and 25 clearances, I don't see Freo losing many games. They get midfield dominance. They miss a few targets and Western Bulldogs had a period of dominance that they didn't take the most of their opportunities. But realistically, with that sort of dominance through clearances and through stoppage, you won't lose many games. You just really won't. That's how the game works. So to have those sorts of games, I thought your boy, Cooper Simpson, showed a little bit.
Yeah, and I thought your boy, Pat Voss, showed a little bit. I don't think he'll keep his spot in the side, to be honest with you, this week. I think he'll fall out. I don't think that's a huge surprise.
I thought he was... Above he played a role. I thought
he was, put it this way, compared to Tabs, who's really struggling. I thought yes, it was.
He moved well, competed well. He had some big, strong moments.
Celebrated well.
He looked like a big contingent in the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was great. Great to see two debutants. And I think he got a dozen disposals, and Simpson came on later and picked up half a dozen. But I think even from what you saw, just the sidestep, the use of the footy from Simpson, I think he could be a small forward. But even pushing up into that mid category, I know that Amos comes back into the side. Switkowski probably is very close to return. I hope Simpson isn't the the player that misses out because of that.
I mean, he looks like a player that could complement what they're trying to do. I think it, like the connecting factor, it looks like he's a really smart player. He had one in the last quarter.
Yep.
Dodged a couple, took it on back through the middle, and then was composed enough to hit Bailey Banfield, I think.
And look, their forward line, it's still, you know, well, they kicked 95, so that's one of their best efforts. I think 102 is their highest score this year against North Melbourne.
Yep.
But Tracy, he couldn't mark at the start of the season, having real trouble clunking them. But I think it was in Adelaide against Carlton, started to find his way, and he's been terrific overhead. Three goals for him. Bailey Banfield, his yips in the derby, replaced by some clutch moments from him. So they're pretty well versed on those small forwards now. And also with Tracy, it just feels like he's getting a real grip on this competition.
I'm all in on Josh Tracy. And you know I have been since I very first saw him play. And he's a key forward. He needs to develop. He needs confidence. Like these sorts of guys, that the big pack markers.
It's, and he imposes himself physically. Yeah. Even if he doesn't mark the ball.
Yeah, but it's all about timing. Taking those marks, it's all about timing, and timing is confidence. So we saw Luke Jackson having to go forward in the derby, and he didn't look like he was, his timing was there, and it was just a confidence thing. And I think if you keep him there for a few weeks, he'll start taking hangers on people's heads because you get your timing right. Josh Tracy, look, I think, you know, for some people he's been frustrating. For me, I've just been watching him. He's been developing. Like, you'll have a good game, you'll have a bad game.
Because he looks older than 21 or 22. Yeah, you feel like he's 26, 25, and you think, well, come on, young bloke, get yourself moving. But you're right.
He does everything you want in a key forward. He is physical. He chases and tackles. He can kick a goal from outside 50.
Good set shot.
He clunks marks. Like, I don't know how much more you want from a key forward.
And apart from anything, you know, you can't hurt opposition players with your attack on the footy. You've got to be careful. He actually has that physical presence. And if you know he's coming, you're having a... Well, I'm having a look.
I'm having a look. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So great to see him have another good game, especially late, wasn't it? He took about three or four big marks on the wing. Like, they're the ones...
They're the that get you field position and just... Gives a side, yeah, absolutely.
You know, even Fremantle, like, you can remember times when they haven't been able to move it out of their back line. They kick it down long down the line, opposition mark it, they switch, you know, and it turned into this. If you come up, take a mark, the entire field moves. So your backs come up and defend behind it, your mids get to work in the middle of the ground, your forwards can stretch and actually set up a forward line. He's playing a really important role, and Jai Amos will add to that. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Pat Voss may miss out, but I think you'd be pleased with what you saw there overall for Freo.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see that depth developing. They lose Draper, of course. Mm. They should get, hopefully, some more reinforcements. You know, against who they got this week, they've got Richmond. So I don't think having having Ryan and Pearce, we'll talk about this later in the week.
Chapman's important.
And Chapman, that's a good shout. He looks and if he can stay sound, I mean, I remember seeing him play for West Perth Colts, and he looks so skinny and so underdeveloped, and he's still pretty slight.
Yeah,
but if his body can stay sound, he makes a lot of good decisions most of the time.
He can play tall. That's the important thing because they're really thin on tall depth now with no Draper. So Cox is still a decent time away, I think, and they're going to have to hold the fort
up. Buddy Banfield went down back, and we interviewed him on 6PR after the game, and David Mundy asked him about, you don't want to be too good down back, you might be stuck there, and Bailey Banfield was a really good reply. He said, well, you know, not so many fullbacks can go forward and kick a goal from outside 50, which he did.
Okay, Bailey, just to write a reply for backmen around the country, it's not that fucking hard, mate, right? Kick it through the big sticks, right? Which you couldn't do the week before, I might add, Bailey. Hey? Could he or not?
Well, to be fair...
He was kicking like a backman in the derby, wasn't he?
To be fair, how many defenders go forward and kick goals regularly?
Hey, mate, look, we've got another job to do, right? We've got to stop the goals, right? We can't do it all. How much do you want us to do? Stop the goals, kick the goals.
Did you sound like my wife at home? What do you want me to do around there? It's like, you just get a character assessment every week.
How did that Bunnings trip go? Did you get the wrench and get the tap up fixed up?
Well, I lost her. Victoria. I actually lost her. She was in the right spot, and I was searching aimlessly through the various... I actually get anxiety going into Bunnings. So I've got no idea what the hell I'm doing.
And what were you doing then?
Well, I was just wandering. I was actually just wandering and not... I think, and I had to get back to do a Zoom meeting with you on Friday. This is on Friday. And that didn't pan out all that well because I didn't know how to operate my phone. And anyway... But no, Bunnings was... And then I finally found my wife and she looked at me. She didn't say it, but I thought... She's thinking I'm an absolute dickhead here, and she was polite because there was a gentleman serving her, but she looked at me with almost disdain, disappointment, and despair.
Did you get what you needed there?
I don't know. She bought it, and we got someone to come and fix it. So
Oh, far out.
There's lots of blokes like me out there that are not great around the house. Yeah. I'm, you know, good at folding, washing and that, but not other stuff.
Very good. Gold Coast defeat West Coast at People's First Stadium. Like I said, I felt this one was hard to watch. It was the actual game. It was just, they were doing circle work at stages.
Lots of free men, weren't there? Like, once it got out.
Wasn't like a lot of contested ball. The deck was slick, and so it was just like a big running race at times, and I didn't enjoy watching it. Like, it wasn't, I don't know how to put it other than it wasn't a good game to watch.
No, but I think the first 5 minutes, when you see the Eagles get the first three, Yo with the clearance, Marrick the mark, and then Waterman gets hold of the footy early, and you think to yourself, okay, and I mean, you can't complain. It's three goals in the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
So you're right. It deteriorated from there with regards to the spectacle. You know what? There was a lot of chatter on X about the umpiring, the free kicks. And as I said on radio this morning, why don't Eagles supporters have a look at the numbers that really matter? And they're the clearances.
Right.
The inside 50, 67 to 39, I think it was. All those metrics almost guarantee that the Gold Coast Suns were going to win this game. And look, you talk about some of their better players, the Suns. When you look at Rowell, what he does in and under, Witts, 46 hitouts. That to me, just on Jared Witts, that completely puts into focus what the Eagles are missing against a quality ruckman like they confronted on Sunday, because Witts had 46 touches. Bailey Williams, you know, God bless him, he's tried his heart out, but they need a Flynn. They need somebody to come in there to...
He's 2 or 3 weeks away, Matt Flynn, so he's...
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Not far. I agree. If you can get some stoppage dominance through ruck work like that, and you've got the high-quality talent that Gold Coast have, there's not a lot you can do as a West Coast midfield when you just have complete service on a platter.
Yeah, and Yo started really well, and he had some knee issues this week. Don't know how serious that is long-term, but he's been battling a bit of a knee complaint. We spoke to Matty Knights about that, and he said, yeah, that was an issue. It would have been nice, in a pure footy sense, to see Harley inside that centre square against a Matty Rowell or someone of that ilk to see how he goes. But that didn't happen. And you talk about the Gold Coast Suns, what they bring to the table. Noah Anderson has the class. I really like Rogers. Small player who gets across the ground really quickly and used it so well, going inside 50 to hit a forward. So, look, the Gold Coast Suns, as I said, you could almost put to one side what they do at the goal at Carrara, what happens up
People's
there. People's First Stadium. They've got the Gabba, so they're not moving too far. But, yeah, we all expect them to be competitive at home. They did that again. And the Eagles, a bit of a reality check, but that happens after a derby sometimes. I thought they were, after the first 15 minutes, they were outplayed.
Really pleased for Jake Waterman from a West Coast perspective. He's now third in the Coleman.
21 on goals, I think.
I heard, I heard Anthony Hudson refer to him at Anthony Hudson? Yeah. Sorry, he looked at me with those eyes that usually when I fuck something up, you just look at me like that. Anthony Hudson compared him to, he looks like a mixture between Tony Lockett, Jason Dunstall, and Gary Ablett.
When did he say this?
Like in the coverage. So I think, look, hey, I hope he was referring to his playing style, but they were talking a fair bit about his mullet at stages.
Oh, yes. I was going to say the mullet had a bit of a plugger about it.
You know, a bit of old school Jason Dunstall, a bit of Gary Ablett, Gary Ablett had the long bit, like very stringy.
Yes.
Very stringy.
But Waterman, to be fair to him, and you talk about some of the comparisons, I'm not sure any of those players had the tank that he has
up and down.
Up and down. Really good. And so happy for him to be able to be playing the footy years. Look, Darling, Oscar Allen, if those three can come together the back end of the year, then, you know, they're not playing finals. We know that. But, gee whiz, to see a competitive team and they've got the Bombers this Saturday night, I think Eagles fans at least feel a bit better about life.
Can I just put this on the agenda, please, Skater?
Sure.
If that's all right with you. I would like to see into the side this year. Why did West Coast not play in the Waffle this weekend? Why did that?
Well, they may well have had a bye. There's only three matches played.
Yeah, okay. You're running things down there, so if you can sort that out for me. I would like to see Clay Hall put into this side. He was an absolute lay down mazare to play round one in the off season. He was their best trainer. He was their most exciting recruit they had. They were more excited. They were as excited as Harley Reid. What he was doing, big bull midfielder, and then getting forward to the footy, having shots on goal. I think there's definitely a spot for Clay Hall in this side, whether it's a Luke Edwards or whether it's a Campbell Chester that needs to go back into the Waffle. They're starting to get enough depth where we can see players get dropped. Like, we haven't seen players get dropped at West Coast for a long time. I think you could probably drop a couple of kids here and get Clay Hall into the side.
I would be staggered if Campbell Chesser retains his place in the team this week. Okay. That's backing up what you're saying. Didn't get enough of the footy. Butchered it at times. He's due for a spell. There was so much. Remember the start of the season when Gaff was under the pump and they wanted Chester to be given extended time in there? Well, I think he's been given enough opportunity.
I would play Hall over Gaff.
Yes, over Gaff. Oh, yeah, no. So,
he's not a winger, though, so I don't know who you play on the wing.
No, well, that's a conundrum, but it's also, you think of what he just did in his last outing. That was against Peel, going back a couple of weeks now. That's Clay Hall we're talking about, 17 disposals. And behind. So, but if he's getting those sorts of numbers, that's and providing he's they believe they've got a role for him to play against Essendon, then absolutely, I think, and it brings energy to the side.
I saw him 2 weeks ago in person. He's my height. He's 194 easily, maybe 195.
So where does he play?
I don't know, mate, but he's a unit and apparently he's very good. So get him in.
Yeah.
I'm putting that on the agenda early. Skeet, we've got to keep moving. West Coast couldn't get it done against Gold Coast. Gold Coast won't win next week if they're not playing at home, so they're no good either. So we'll just write them right.
They're playing the Gabba.
Well, see you later. Brisbane will make finals, remember, so they'll beat
them. Of course, yeah.
All right, let's get into the rest of the action, Skeet. Melbourne defeat Richmond. Have we done this game?
That was Wednesday, didn't we? We did a Wednesday show.
Right.
We'll keep this short and sharp, though.
Max Gorn, this is from Wednesday. Max Gorn was best on. Melbourne smacked Richmond. Richmond are no good. Anything else you want to add?
Jacob Hopper, feel sorry for him again. Done a hammy, but hasn't had any luck in running. And Tigers have to host the Dockers this week. So, Fremantle will have a good look at that game. But big rest for Richmond. What a Wednesday to a Saturday or Sunday game.
It's
a Sunday game. It's about a week and a half off. Anyway, Melbourne too good. And, no huge surprises there. They get the job done with Turner kicking his first ever career goal. In fact, finished with three. So they've just maybe found another one to help out their forward line, which can be a bit clunky at times.
Nickname is Disco.
Disco, yes.
I would have thought.
Because he can't dance.
That's, oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have thought Tina might have got a little run. That would have been a good nickname.
Yeah, but the blokes from his, I think he's... the VFL team or his team back where he played originally gave him the term because he got two left feet.
Very good, like you and I.
Oh, I'll go okay.
Is that right? You're a good dancer?
No, I'm not. I'm a good singer. I'm pissed.
Essendon v Collingwood, if you want to come to the end of season breakup, Mark Reddings will be on a microphone dancing at the front of the zone. Draw.
Good game. Brilliant. It was huge, wasn't it? 12-13. In a nutshell, again, this is going back a fair while, but Elliot Mark of the Year, my check with several chances to win it, essentially, in the scheme of things in the last quarter, but just butchered the footy. Langford was terrific, but he had four. He would have loved five, yes, which would have given him the match-winning goal in there as well. So many good elements to this game, and I think we learnt more about Essendon, about how they can absorb and the counter-punching ability of Collingwood to come back. They were down 6-2 at quarter time. Really good game of footy, and off the back of that, it's just the second draw between these clubs going back to Anzac Day matches. 29 years was the first game between these two on that day, and almost three decades later, they draw again.
Essendon should have won this one. They were the better side. They had 80 more disposals.
How good's Merritt?
Yeah, Zach Merritt, gun, wins the medal. Cole Langford probably would have won it if he kicks that goal from 30 out straight in front for his fifth goal of the game, but doesn't get it done. Jamie Elliott's mark is the... I think it's the best mark of the century. I think it's better than Moorcroft. I think it's better than Sampi. I think it's the best one I've seen this century, so since 2000. To jump on effectively a ruckman, Ben McKay's like 198, to jump on him with no hands, bit of ablet about it, like the straddle, to land on his... I think it's the best mark I've seen. It was unbelievable. And Anzac Day and the occasion. And he kicked the goal. Pretty sure he kicked the goal. I'll give that a little bonus, 0.5.
Would he trade that mark to have taken the mark in the last minute, I think it was, to then have a shot to score to give your team the lead to win the game? What do you take?
Yes, he'd want to win for his team, but he's also a forward, remember, Skeeters. So he'll have that
hanging. There's no car.
He'll have that picture hanging on his wall.
You're right.
Ben McKay, he'll put a big mirror
in front
of him.
They'll get a picture with Ben and him together when they're 50 years of age, saying, a bit like Gary Lyon with... a few of the blokes. Jeff Farmers.
Yeah, Jeff Farmer.
Yeah.
That's very good. I just thought it was, yeah, very good game. Pendlebury had his 10,000th disposal. Yeah. Quite a lot. Can tell that right
10,000.
Yeah.
Well, I'm lucky to walk 10,000 steps a day, but he's got 10,000 disposals.
It was a great game, but a long time ago, Skeet, so we probably won't break it too much down. GWS Brisbane. GWS all over Brizzy. Manuka as well. Brisbane didn't look like it. And Gold Coast, GWS looked amazing, in my opinion.
Yeah, this was the one tip I got wrong. I changed it 2 minutes before the opening ball up
you
for some reason.
Brisbane.
Well, I think you did as well on the Shelter Footycast last week.
Yeah, I did.
You dickhead. So anyway, Brisbane after halftime, completely woeful. 2-3. And the Giants, despite missing Toby Green,
yep.
despite missing Sam Taylor, yep. they were...
Stephen Cornelio
as well. How could I forget him? But I want to quickly... I know I'm going to spend long on this
That's
game.
Right.
But I thought it was terrific to see a young guy called Darcy Jones from yep. WA, Swan Districts, originally 175 centimetres, wears the helmet.
Yeah.
A bit like Caleb Daniel in essence, but he's quick. He's a lot quicker than Caleb. Had a knee reco last year, missed 12 months of footy, kicked 2 goals. About 20 of his family and friends from WA flew across. Really, I know, he's a WA kid. But
did you see him play in the waffle?
Yeah, saw him play Colts footy, yeah.
So what sort of player was he? Like, did he used to dominate? Like, was he a midfielder? Was he a forward?
Mid.
I was watching him, like, I wonder what's his
He can play mid, absolutely. Yeah. Can play mid. And look, they might use him up the ground because he's just got that. One element in footy, Scully, is, you know, if you've got pace,
yeah.
it can really be a huge advantage. And he knows how to get the footy. Like, he's a fine young fella. I'm just so excited for him that he's able to get his opportunity.
If you're clean. If pace is fine, and I won't name any, but you probably can think about players in the AFL right now, even in Western Australian sides, that are very quick, fastest players you've ever seen. They can't kick and are fumbly.
Yeah.
And it's literally, they'll spend their whole career being, oh, well, he's quick. We better get him in the team, get some speed in the side. If you can't be clean and you can't use the ball, there's no use being quick because you're just useless to everybody. But he was the cleanest player on the ground. It was a bit dewy. Mm. Players have fallen over. He was... held his feet, stepped blokes, clean, distributed. I'd be interested to see what his disposal efficiency was because he was a star.
Absolutely. Great to see. It's a great result.
Surely he doesn't come out of the side when Toby Green comes back.
Well, you try and make room for him, don't you? But you look at Harvey Thomas. He's a young bloke that's sort of in that same mould, kicked 2 goals himself. Let me just quickly, I know we're going back to the Dockers, but this was played in Canberra on the Thursday night of Anzac Day. I think it's incumbent on the AFL moving forward to have the Dockers, who've had the Len Hall tribute game, play on the night of Anzac Day, as they have with Collingwood Essendon in the day. I think the Dockers have earned the right to have that as the Thursday night standalone match.
And clip the GWS in Canberra?
Absolutely.
I think they want to play in Canberra because it's sort of the military capital.
They might want to do that, but this goes back to, they had the 27th Len Hall game, so this hasn't been a Johnny-come-lately thing by the Dockers. So, yeah, it's an argument for another time, but I think the Dockers have deserved the right to get, not play 3 days or 2 days after the event.
Okay, I like that. I like that from you, Skate. Not often that happens, but I do like it. I like it a lot.
You couldn't argue with me. Good.
Okay, I can't, Skate, which I do enjoy doing as well. Port Adelaide defeats St Kilda, 82-72. Adelaide Oval Friday night, this one was. Rosie's done his hamstring.
Aaliyah's got concussion.
Yes, and Powell Pepper's done his ACL, which is just brutal. I think we can all say that he's a player that most people love to watch playing.
Yeah, it's
goes
huge.
Goes about it the right way. Attacks the contest, is hard, physical, all of that sort of stuff, and... he's out for 12 months now.
Yeah, courageous win by the Power on that basis. They kicked 1-8 in the first quarter, finished with 11-16. So they deserve to win on those numbers. 10 points the margin. St Kilda hung around, but they're one of those sides this year that I just think are going to be unable to beat the better sides. And they've had a lot of close losses. I think what we need to point out here is that the efficiency of Charlie Dixon going forward. Willie Rowley kicked a beautiful goal that I saw in the pocket.
Yes.
It was that bit of silk that managed to help Port Adelaide get across the line here. But in many ways, it's not about what they did winning-wise. It's about what they lost along the way with the showdown coming up. I know Rosie's short-term and Aaliyah's short-term. Powell Pepper's the big one for them.
But there's still two big losses that they'll probably be both out for at least a couple of weeks. Yeah. So that's significant. And who steps up? I saw Jace Burgoyne, son of, had 27 disposals.
Yeah.
Which is a decent sign. But they'll have to get someone to come in and play that role. But I feel like they've got good depth in there. I mean, Butters and Wines and Horn Francis, like
they've got some quality, haven't they?
Anything else on that?
Sinclair, pretty good for the Saints, but look, the only question against the Saints in the last quarter: when did they take the game on enough? Were they bold enough? Did they have the cattle?
I don't think they have the cattle. They don't have the cattle.
No, that's probably the key there.
Which is disappointing because I would have loved to have seen Ross Lyon get a good crack at it in his second year this year. With a side that can compete. I think their game plan competes, but they don't have the talent, and I don't know how they get that, to be honest. Maybe they're able to recruit one or two players. Adelaide defeat North Melbourne. I'm going to spend 10 seconds of my life on this. All right, I give you 10 of my best. Dawson was great. Rankin kicked 4. That's about it. It was one of the more irrelevant games I've ever seen in my life. There was 4,000 people watching this one in Hobart.
No, 4,727.
sorry for those 724 people.
Completely given Tassie's coming into the competition the next few years.
So they've just gone stuffy. Do you reckon that's what it is? Is it two shit teams playing?
A bit of both. I think there's a bit of both.
I was wondering that, where the Tassie's gone, you're not our team anymore.
Well, they're a shit side.
Yes, correct.
So why are you going to follow a team that's not really giving you any bang for buck? So 38 scoring shots to 21. Zerha kicks 3, but gee whiz.
You can't be putting games down there if there's 4,000 people coming down.
So are we
clipping Hobart now? We don't go down there anymore. 4,000 people going. If they've clipped them, we're still 4 years or 3 years away from Tassie coming in.
Tell you what, North Melbourne sell a game to, say, the Eagles or the Dockers.
There'd be more than 4,000 Optus to watch that.
No, they sell one of their home games, as in, I know they've got to deal with Tassie, etc., but they play a home game in WA, they'd make 100. Say they give up a game at Marvel against the Dockers, they make 150, 200,000.
There'd be more than 4,000 people going to a North anyone game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
over here, yeah, absolutely. But anyway, wasted more than 10 seconds.
If North Melbourne was able to do that, North v Adelaide here, how many people would go?
At Optus?
Yep.
I'd say 10,000?
You'd get over 10.
Yeah.
You'd have
You'd have some people fly from Adelaide. I don't know. There's actually North Melbourne's got a decent following in WA. They have.
Gather round for one game. It's Adelaide, North Melbourne. Come down.
The reverse blockbuster.
Geelong v Carlton.
Good game.
Great game. Have completely made me look like an idiot, which continues to happen in all facets of my life, which is completely fine. Geelong beat Carlton. It was a big game, always going to be, but the big players step up. I mean, a big one out of this, Dangerfield does his hammy, but he was good before he did that. Jeremy Cameron kicked 5 goals. He was superstar levels.
He's almost the best. I mean, he's almost the most valuable player, the biggest name in the competition at the moment, isn't he?
Most valuable.
Yeah, because
you put him into any side, he'd still be the best, be the best player at every side.
He can do it all, can't he? And he's got that brilliant ability to run up and down the ground. He kicks goals. He's just got so many aspects of him that make him the gun forward of the competition. I know, like, Curno is a superstar with 3 on the weekend, Mackay kicks 2, but Jay Cameron is the man that I think. And look, it's just their system. They play such a good system, and Chris Scott's done a super job with his team. I think you said you'd tip Geelong if Wearing didn't play. Wearing did play.
So I picked Carlton. Is that right?
No, I'm just saying that's how important you think he is to them. I don't lose too much out of that for Carlton. They won a lot of the metrics, including clearances, etc. So
2 goals, 8 in the first quarter.
Didn't help.
If that's 8 goals, 2, that's a difficult game for Geelong to win. Nick, can you look something up for me, please? I want to see what the Giants got for Jeremy Cameron, because I wonder how. I was just thinking, imagine Jeremy Cameron playing for the Giants right now. But I just wonder what they got for him, because I'm thinking maybe a Tom Green sort of may have become available. Like they certainly got 2 first round picks for him.
Yes.
I wonder what they turned him into. Anyway, Gry Myers has had an outstanding season. His name's in all Australian calculations now, which every time I watch him play, I don't watch enough of Geelong, siren to siren to know it. And I see him play, I'm like, how? But he's leading the league in goal assists. He's a sort of an in-between player, like a connector, that he sort of plays this role at Geelong that's so important. And without him, like, they'd really struggle. They didn't have Tom Stewart in this one.
No, he comes back for the game against Melbourne. Cam Guthrie returns. Yeah, no, I got egg all over my face with Geelong. And, I'm happy to wear it because they play good footy. I mean, they kicked 18 goals. They're absolutely in the conversation for minor premiers and the flag at this stage.
So I think they got pick 13, pick 15, and pick 20. And I want to know what they did with them, please, Nick. That's what they got for Jeremy Cameron.
It's okay getting 13, 15, and 20. And obviously,
if they pick up Mark Reddings out of Wembley Downs Footy Club, right? It's probably not a good trade for it.
Doesn't get you much for you. Yeah.
We'll come back to that. But you have Geelong as the best side in the competition.
At the moment, they are the best side. The numbers say it, the ladder says it.
Yeah, and you disagree. And you say it.
Well, I'm just backing up what I see. I can only, it's the eye test, as you say, Scully. Sydney and the Giants, you reckon they'd pump Geelong. But anyway, that's a different argument.
Yeah, that's right. Sydney smash Hawthorn at the MCG to finish this one off. 118-42. The Lizard has 30 touches.
What about the Heaney?
We've been on air too long. He continues to impress. Logan McDonald was impressive at stages. He kicked 3 goals. The Swans now got a ladder position of they second or third in the ladder?
They're second. They are second.
150%. They're running
147 at, just ahead of the Giants.
So, look, I think this was just a bloodbath. Sydney just went to work. Errol Goulden was just sizzling early out there on the wings of the MCG. I think Sydney, when they're in that mood, like playing at the MCG, but we saw them get touched up by Richmond. I think Richmond were able to bring it into a real dogfight, and it turned into this like defensive. If Sydney are allowed to play on their terms and kick mark, like I saw them do, like that, they just are unstoppable.
Yeah, they learned a lesson after that defeat to Richmond, and they completely put Hawthorn to the sword from midway through that first quarter. Outstanding performance by them. I mean, Dylan Moore was okay for the Hawks. Sicily tries hard, but they are a very distant memory from the side we saw last year, Hawthorn, in terms of their competitiveness. They're having some big, big losses. So I hold great fears for them for the rest of this season. And the murmurings about Sam Mitchell, I know this always happens, yep, far too premature, but I think they sort of want to see a bit more competitiveness, as we have with Adam Simpson at the Eagles over the last year or two.
Well, they just allowed Sydney to do what they pleased, right? And if you do that against any side in the competition, they're going to beat you. I remember in 2018 there was a stat that if West Coast had over 100 marks,
you win.
They would win. And we did it in the grand final, and we won. And we did it all year, and we never lost like that. Hawthorn had 80 marks in this one, which I think is pretty
That's significant.
It's okay. Sydney had 136 marks.
136
marks. So that they literally just chipped their way around the ground. No one – like, Sam Mitchell's got a lot of issues there. And that is application probably over system for mine and effort and – I always say this, like, it's not that they're not trying. They're trying, but they're not applying their effort in the right areas, because that's just an absolute bloodbath. So see you later. Did you, Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shadow Footy Cast. Did you find what they did with them yet, Nicholas?
Connor Stone
they picked up.
Ryan Angwin.
And finally the last one. Oh, right.
Well, they're behind then, aren't they?
Well, we. Okay.
They're probably not, they're probably thinking themselves.
All right, don't worry about the Nicholas. I'll update everyone a bit later on. That's probably not a good trade at this stage. Okay, Skeeter, let's get into the listeners. If you want to get involved with us here at the Shelter Footycast, we'd love to hear from you. Footycast@backchatstudios.com.au, or you can send us something on socials, Shelter Footycast on Instagram, or jump on Backchat Studios on YouTube and chuck something in the comments. Skate, let's start with, don't know who this is. G'day, lads. Wilma here. It's Wilma. Just want to know your thoughts about marks in the AFL. Is it me, or is there so many marks that should be paid that are getting let go as play on, especially good contested marks that are basically brought down, or the big hangers? Also, just your thoughts on all the older players in the AFL who are calling all the high bumps and rough tackles being no good, saying the game and players are soft, but the reason all these head knocks rules came in is because they all put a lawsuit against the AFL. Are my thoughts wrong on this or partially incorrect? Don't get me wrong, I'm not against protecting the head, etc. I'm just against these old boys saying it's soft footy and it's not how it used to be when they all wanted a payout for playing, in their words, good hard footy. That's cheers from Wilma. I'll start on I think you're being too generalistic, to be honest. I don't think I've ever said it's soft footy for any high hard tackles. I'm not sure how many people, I don't know how old they are, saying it's not how it used to be. I've certainly never rolled that out before.
I think you're entitled to say, with regards to the style of footy that we see sometimes.
But it's not soft at all.
No, it's the opposite of that. No, the style of footy, as opposed to, I mean, you don't have to, anyone who's played the game, I don't think you hear too many commentators who've been out there say, irrespective, it's soft. I mean, it's quick, it's hard, they're more athletic. Even going back 6 years ago, mate, I mean, it's the game's just advancing so quickly.
The game is in such a better position than it was in the 80s. I know everyone loves to talk about the 80s and the 90s. Oh, back in the 80s and 90s, if you watch a couple of games of those, if you actually take yourself back and watch those, it was decrepit footy, mate. It was contested. It was get the ball and torp it down the wing, and there was a massive clash of players, and then someone would just boot it forward again. There was skill level wasn't great, Skeet.
No.
And the forwards had kicked all the goals. They literally stood in the goal square and led as fast as they could. And that was their only effort. Like, they would have been running 4Ks a game.
Yeah.
That being said, different game.
It is different. And look, I sympathise with what you're saying, but also will suggest at times we do see 30 players around the footy in the modern game. It can be as unattractive as some of those matches back in the day. As there are good games and there are bad games.
Go and watch the 90s. Pick any game and...
I think the 90s was a more open affair, I think.
You know what? The reason people think the 90s was so good, you didn't get to watch every game. And then the only sort of coverage you'd have is Sandy Roberts jumping up and giving you the, 5 minutes of highlights on his, what was that, whatever those shows were. The coverage is that much better now that every single game is watchable any second of the day, wherever you are, whether you're listening or watching or watch back or highlights. It's so much coverage. I don't think you saw enough of the bad games back in the day.
Yeah, well, I saw a bad game first half, Richmond versus Melbourne last Wednesday night, to make me think it was unwatchable. My point is there's been some crap games.
That happened back in the day though, Skate.
I'm saying there's been some crap games this year, and there will be, and there's some unwatchable footy. Just as there were in the 90s. The only difference, some people argue, is that it was more one-on-one as opposed to what we see now. With the rules back in the day were less stringent on, obviously, with chopping of the arm. So there's pros and cons. I'm not going back to say it was better back in the day, but certainly there were some moments where better footy, but also the footy now, the teams of 2024 would carve up most of the teams going back to the 90s.
Hopefully you enjoyed that answer, Wilmer. It did not touch on any of your questions you asked us.
Including the marks, which I don't notice too many not paid, but the umpires are under a bit of pressure to make sure those contested marks are...
We're being called to play on a lot more this year. 15 metre kicks, they're not 15 play on. You noticing that? That's happening a lot, so that's clearly a directive. This is from someone on YouTube. I think we need a rule implemented that gives a base 1 week suspension for sling tackles with an increase based on severity/outcome. I don't know about that. It removes the crap uneven results of the last couple of weeks. We don't need these tackles in our game anymore, so let's legislate them out of it. I don't mind the 1 week suspension for sling tackles. I do mind the increased given the outcome.
Players mean to sling tackle?
No. I would say high majority is a no.
Yeah, that's my feeling, because if you, it's like saying, if you're going to commit an act that you know is going to make you vulnerable, I think it's just the cycle of a game of footy where Will Schofield's there, you tackle him, whether it's his momentum, whether it's his weight or lack of it, contributes to what ends up being constituted a sling tackle. So I'm sure that 99% of time players don't intend to sling their opponent.
Yep, great. There's another one here, but it's way too long, Nicholas, so we're not going to get into that one, unfortunately. Make sure, Skeeter, just to finish this one up, the TASA giveaway, Travel and Sports Australia.
Do I give the code word again?
Code word that you need is...
Victoria Park.
That's right.
Going back to last week.
Against Collingwood. You can jump on the plane with the players, have tickets to some corporate sort of entity over there. I don't know where you'll be sitting, but it sounds bloody good.
Oh, yeah.
Victoria Park, backchatstudios.com.au. Skeeter, that's us pretty much finished up. Feels like we reviewed 10 weeks of footy. We got through it well done.
And good news is we're back on Thursday because we've only got two more days and then footy's back.
You'll build it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.